application on Saturdays. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. Bismillah, words that seekers of sanctuary repeatedly recite. Words that the very cautious in search of protection often repeat. I seek refuge with Allah, the Exalted above all, from the oppression of the unjust, from the deceitful malice the envious use to lay snares and traps, from the injustice and outrage of the tyrants, and I sing his praise. Do better and go beyond other praisers. O Allah, thou art one, has no partner, and is the Lord Master without being made. There is no discrepancy or nonsense in thy commands, nor there is lawlessness in thy kingdom. I beseech thee to send blessings on Muhammad, thy servant, thy messenger. To let me ask thee for enlightenment and inspiration, so as to be thankful for thy bounties, which alone get thy approval ultimately. To help me to obey thee and instinctively worship thee, and make me deserve thy rewards on account of thy very patronage. And have mercy on me, and prevent me from breaking in the bounds of thy prohibitions, as far as I am kept alive, and show the way unto that which is useful and advantageous till I go on survive. To let me take to heart the meanings of thy book, and by its reading, throw down the heavy burden of sins, and receive welfare and salvation as a gift. Let not my family and friends who love me leave me alone. Let thy favors reach me in abundance during the remainder of my life, exactly as they used to be made available for me in full in the days gone by. O the Most Merciful.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful, dear brothers and sisters. Salam and welcome to this episode of today's special by IRIB English Radio. The topic of today's special is about the importance of Hijra of the Prophet, peace be upon him, and his pure progeny. Rasulullah, Habiballah, Rasulullah, Habiballah. Today, Friday, is the 1st of Rabiul Awwal, 1443 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 16th of May, 1400 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 8th of October, 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. So, at the first step, we'll listen to verse 75 of chapter Al-Anfal from the Holy Quran, and we bless today's special.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. والذين آمنوا من بعد وهاجروا وجاهدوا معكم فأولئك منكم وَأُولُو الْأَرْحَامِ بَعْضُهُمْ أَوْلَى بِبَعْضٍ فِي كِتَابِ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عَلِيمٌ.
And those who believed after the initial emigration and emigrated and fought with you, they are of you. But those of blood relationship are more entitled to inheritance in the decree of Allah. Indeed, Allah is knowing of all things.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
The objective of the first part of the verse is those who believe after the first immigration and they migrated too. The verse saying, and those who believed afterwards and migrated and strove with you. The verse continues saying, they are of you. This holy phrase means that they are like you and their judgment from the point of obligation of their friendship and helping them is the same as the judgment of yours, although they believe and migrated after you.
Shining bright, you came to us with a heart so full of love, and you showed that you're the one who cares the most, and to us you've always been so. Everyone will say, please save me, accept al-Habib. Ummati, Ummati, yakuluha lana yawma al-qiyamati. Ummati, Ummati,
in today's special, we're speaking about Hijra, or migration, the turning point in Islamic history. Hijra, or immigration to Medina, no doubt kindled the light of hope in the hearts of the early Muslims who set a shining example for all Muslims in every generation to emulate. Hijra, in essence, is a process of transfer to a better situation. It is not meant to find a comfortable place where one would relax and stop endeavor. Rather, it is a search for an environment more favorable to continuous and constructive effort. Immediately after reaching Medina, the Prophet undertook an all-embracing process to establish a faithful and strong society. This is a significant aspect and important lesson to learn from Hijra. Hijra was one of the most important events in the history of Islam. Muslims chose Hijra as the focal point to reckon their chronology.
Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa bi nasta'in. In this episode, we are going to be concerned with the emigration of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from Mecca to Medina. Now we find that the Holy Quran refers to the immigrants, to the Meccan immigrants to Medina, because it wasn't only the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam who migrated from Mecca to Medina in order, first and foremost, to survive and then to spread the Islamic religion. There's a verse, a Quranic verse, in that it says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, الَّذِينَ أُخْرِجُوا مِنْ دِيَارِهِمْ بَغَيْرَ حَقٍ إِلَّا أَنْ يَقُولُوا رَبَّنَ اللَّهِ. They've been expelled from the homeland simply because they believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then we find that in this regard, the conflict wasn't between, for example, two groups of wealthy people, or it wasn't, I mean, any kind of political strife or political opposition, because we find that at times politicians get together and they sign treaties, I mean, peace treaties, in order to settle all quarrels. However, we find that on the one hand, I mean, the opposition was between those people who were followers of Satan and others, I mean, Muslims, who were followers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And at the same time, we find that the Islamic religion put an end to all the quasi and the false values advocated by the infidels, by the Meccan infidels, who invited all people to all sorts of vices, and they never recognized any kind of moral virtues. Because of this, we find that the promulgation of the Islamic religion has received another greater phase, that is, in the Medinan period of the life of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And as we know, this sacred and blessed migration from Mecca to Medina has been regarded as the beginning of the Islamic era in world history. Thank you. فجرا جئت بعد العسر يسرا ربنا أعلاك قدرا يا إمام الأنبياء أنت في الوجدان حي أنت للعينين ضي أنت عند الحوض ري أنت هاد وصفي
As the previous episodes of today's special, here we'll look at the lessons from the Hijrah of the Prophet. In this part, a timeless lesson, brotherhood. The Hijrah teaches us about brotherhood. Muslims immigrated from Mecca with little or nothing with them, and they were then accepted in Medina almost as if they were the inhabitants. The Prophet of Medina shared their houses, food, and whatever they had to help their brethren from Mecca settle in. It is among the best expressions of the brotherhood in the history of humanity. And that is something that Islam brought. It was brought up only by understanding that they were all united under the prophets, under the one prophet, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him and his pure progeny.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIB English Radio. Today's special.
The Hijrah of Messenger of Allah from Mecca to Medina. The Prophet made his way through the streets and alleyways and left Mecca. 40 men armed with unsheathed swords surrounded the house of the Messenger of Allah. It was near daybreak when they burst into the room where the Prophet usually slept. They were just about to strike their swords on the body of Prophet Muhammad when Ali raised his head from the pillow and said, "Oh, what's going on?" Abu Sufyan's armed men were taken completely by surprise and recoiled in anger and hatred like wounded snakes. The enemies of the Prophet could hardly contain their rage when they realized that their plot had failed. They believed, however, that the Prophet must be hiding in some other house in Mecca, and so they dispatched their guards to search every place the Prophet was likely to have taken refuge in. They did not know that the noble Prophet was outside Mecca sheltering in a cave. After walking on foot for over a week, he reached Medina and immediately began to think about forming a powerful army to wipe out all trace of idol worship, ignorance, and inhuman behavior from Arab society and to save the people from their tyrannical oppressors. Sayyid Saleh al-Qazwini.
So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, he tells Amir al-Mu'mineen, return the trusts and I want you to bring back the Fawatim after me. Fatima al-Zahra and Fatima bint Asad, the mother of Amir al-Mu'mineen, and Fatima bint Zubayr, the cousin of Rasulullah and the cousin of Amir al-Mu'mineen. He says, you bring them back because Rasulullah was escaping. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, he left after Amir al-Mu'mineen had prepared the camels. And as he was leaving Mecca, he turned around and he began to look at Mecca and the mountains of Mecca, and he began to cry. This is his city. This is the city that he lived in. This is the city of his ancestors and his fathers. This is the city of Ibrahim. He has to leave it for the sake of Allah, for the sake of the message. He began to cry. There Allah brings down a verse, إِنَّ الَّذِي فَرَضَ عَلَيْكَ الْقُرْآنَ لَرَادُّكَ إِلَى مَعَادٍ. The one who gave you the Qur'an to deliver will bring you back here sooner or later. Allah told Rasulullah, you're going to come back and conquer Mecca. When Rasulullah was at his weakest state, he's running away, he's escaping, and the people of Mecca are chasing him, but he had the faith and he leaves. As he leaves, he is going on that 400 kilometer journey, and Rasulullah, he takes the coastal path. He doesn't take the normal path. He goes towards the west, and he takes the coastal path up to Medina. And as he was leaving, many of the men, they were out looking for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. One of them by the name of Suraqah ibn Malik, he came and he ran after Rasulullah. Someone had informed him that Rasulullah was on this path. He came and now he wants to capture Rasulullah so that he could get his 100 camels, so that he could get his reward. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, he saw that this man came to him. And as soon as that man came to him, Abu Bakr, he tells Rasulullah, they have captured us. That's it. They've captured us. Rasulullah, this is narrated by Ibn al-Athir. Rasulullah tells him, don't worry, Allah is with us. Why are you so worried? Then Rasulullah, he raises his hands and he says, Allahumma kfini sharra Suraqah bima shit. Oh Allah, save me from the evil of Suraqah. As soon as Rasulullah did that dua, the horse of Suraqah jumped and he fell off the horse. That man, right away, he realized that the dua of Rasulullah is fast. The dua of Rasulullah works very quickly. So he decided to stop. And he told Rasulullah, he became weak, he fell on the ground. He tells Rasulullah, go and take anything that you want. He thought that Rasulullah would come and kill him now that he fell on the ground. He tells Rasulullah, take anything you want. Here's my slave, here's my camel, and if you want, take my own horse. Rasulullah tells him, we don't want your belongings. So that man, he tells Rasulullah, then what do you want me to do? How can I help you now that you saved my life and you didn't kill me? Rasulullah tells him, keep the evil of Quraysh away from us. So that man, Suraqah, he goes back on that same path and he sees anyone from Quraysh that wants to come on that road, that path. He would tell them, no, Muhammad is not here. I already checked this path. I checked this path and he's not on this path. So Rasulullah was able to escape.
Mustafa. Dear friend, that was all for today's special. Inshallah, we visit each other, same time, same channel. Till then, may Allah keep all of you in safe and peace. Have a nice time.
Lost and hearts frozen from your Allah came a prophet chosen. Blessed prophets Muhammad, obedient to you, taught us the things we are to do. Muhammad ya Rasul Allah, Muhammad ya Habib Allah, Muhammad ya Nabi.
Food for thought. Today, on the 1st of Rabiul Awwal, the anniversary of the migration from Mecca to Medina of Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, we present you Ayah 207 of Surah Baqarah in God's praise of Imam Ali, peace upon him, who in obedience to the divinely inspired commandment slept the night on the Prophet's bed to enable the latter to safely leave the abode of divine revelation, undetected by a group of pagan Arabs hovering around with murderous intentions. And among mankind is he who sells his soul seeking the pleasure of God, and Allah is most kind to his servants.
Join us in this journey, IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Dear listeners, welcome to another episode of Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio. This is a very great and important day in history. It is the day of the migration of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, or what is known as the Hijrah, when the Holy Prophet in the dead of night decided to travel from Mecca to Medina by the request and by the invitation of a group of people from Medina. This is the day that the Holy Prophet decided to, you know, depart Mecca. And obviously we know there are many different amazing events that occurred in this particular regard that have been mentioned in the books of history regarding the event of the migration, starting with obviously the remaining in the bed of the Holy Prophet, the Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam, and then obviously the events of the cave of Hira, before the cave, and so on and so forth. And in this regard, we see that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also has a very beautiful tradition in this regard, that migration obviously has to be for a particular purpose. And some of the tradition mention migration or, you know, traveling from one place to another for the purpose of education, for example. And we have certain traditions in that regard. Or, for example, to escape certain oppressors, for example. And we have many of these types of hijrat in the Islamic history. But the one that we would like to mention today is that type of migration or hijrah that is for the protection of religion. And this is what we can, you know, cast the migration of the Holy Prophet as. One of the reasons why the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left Mecca for Medina is because of the protection of the Islam, for the protection of the Islamic ideology, and obviously then to spread it in that particular place that was more inviting, that was more open to hearing new ideas about this beautiful religion that you and I follow today. So the Holy Prophet is reported to have said that that person, in order to protect his religion, his beliefs, he travels from one place to another. Right? So he moves, so he migrates basically, or he, what is known as, he does a hijrah. Right? He moves from one place to another. Because why? To protect his religion. This person is worthy of attaining paradise. This is very important, that the reason for migration must be of importance. And obviously one of the main important reasons for us to migrate is in order to protect our religion. And this is something that is, you know, quite, you know, rife in our communities today, and discussions are happening. Obviously this is not the program to do ta'in or the specifications of what a person must or must not do. A person must obviously go to those who are more knowledgeable and obviously consider it themselves. But in order to protect one's religion, one's deen, one's belief, one's ritual, the essence of it, not just the form of it, the essence of it, a person should migrate according to this tradition. And if a person does do so, paradise will be, you know, something that he is deserving of, something that he is worthy of, or her. Inshallah, until our next episode. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
That was the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Oh Lord, here I am pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure. Oh Lord, here I am yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا
ودعوتك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon the soul of Prophet Muhammad and his purified progeny. Dear audience, Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to another episode of the program Let's Recite the Quran, coming to you from the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. I'm your host Mahdi, and we are joined by Quran expert, dear brother Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, brother.
Wa alaikum assalam, Brother Mahdi, and assalamu alaikum to all the dear listeners of this program. I'm glad to be with you.
Thank you, brother. Well, dear audience, as you may know, the program Let's Recite the Quran consists of several Quranic parts. At first, we're going to talk about a famous recital of the Noble Quran.
Then we're going to listen to a recitation of that famous recital preceded by its English translation. After it, Brother Muhammad is going to analyze that recitation. So the audience, stay tuned. Dear audience, today we are going to listen to a recitation by Sheikh Muhammad Abu Zaid. Sheikh Muhammad Abu Zaid was a famous Egyptian reciter and mubtahil. And I'm sure that you know that mubtahil is a person who recites the religious songs and nasheeds. Sheikh Muhammad Abu Zaid had traveled to Iran in 1975, that is before the Islamic Revolution, along with Sheikh Muhammad al-Tukhi and recited Adhan in Shia style. Dear audience, now let's listen to the recitation of Surah Al-Mu'minun from the very beginning to the end of verse 11, recited by Sheikh Muhammad Abu Zaid, preceded by its English translation. Let's enjoy it.
In the name of Allah, the absolutely merciful, the especially merciful. Successful indeed are the believers, those who offer their prayers with humility and full submissiveness, and those who turn away from evil, vain talk and falsehood, and those who pay the prescribed charity, and those who guard their chastity, except from their wives or the captives that their right hands possess, for then they are free from blame. But whoever seeks beyond that, then those are the transgressors, those who are faithfully true to their responsibilities and trusts and to their covenants, and those who strictly guard their prayers. These are indeed the inheritors, who shall inherit the paradise. They shall dwell therein forever.
قد أفلح المؤمنون الذين هم في صلاتهم خاشعون والذين هم عن اللغو معرضون والذين هم الزكاة فاعلون والذين هم لفروجهم حافظون إلا على أزواجهم أو ما ملكت أيمانهم فإنهم غير ملومين فمن ابتغى وراء ذلك فأولئك هم العادون والذين هم لأماناتهم وعهدهم راعون والذين هم على صلواتهم يحافظون أولئك هم الوارثون الذين يرثون الفردوس هم فيها خالدون صدق الله العلي
Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, you're still listening to the program Let's Recite the Quran. And what you just listened to was recitation of Surah Al-Mu'minun from the very beginning to the end of verse 11, presided by Sheikh Muhammad Abu Zaid. And now, Brother Muhammad, let's talk about this beautiful recitation.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Okay, at the beginning of this surah, we have some tajweed rules. For example, the first word is qad. We have tafkhim of qaf. We only have seven letters that are pronounced with tafkhim. Of course, we have two other letters that are sometimes pronounced with tafkhim, such as the lam in the majestic name of Allah and ra. All of the other letters, they have to be pronounced with tawqiq. This is very important that you don't pronounce all of the letters with tafkhim or tawqiq. You should pronounce the letters of isti'la with tafkhim and the letters of istifal with tawqiq, other than ra, when most of the time you have to pronounce it with tafkhim, and the lam of the majestic name of Allah that sometimes, or most of the time, I'm not sure, you have to pronounce it with tawqiq, which is actually the same as tafkhim, but it's used with respect to pronouncing the name of Allah.
And they both mean thickly.
With thickness, yes. So, we have qad aflaha. Only the qaf in this verse has tafkhim. So, you should not say qad.
This phrase you
qad aflaha. In this verse.
Completely.
Yes. Qad aflaha. So, only the qaf is pronounced with tafkhim. The hamza of aflaha is pronounced with tarqiq, the fa, the lam, the ha of this word, and all of the other letters are pronounced with tarqiq. Because, you know, it's not just fatha that could be pronounced with tarqiq. Also, dhamma and kasra could be pronounced with either tafkhim or tarqiq, depending on the letter, and sometimes the vowel. The second verse, we have salatihim khashi'un. Again, we have a similar issue here. Alladhina hum fi salatihim sa. Salatihim. The sad has tafkhim, while the lam has tarqiq. And you can notice there's a big difference between the way that fatha is pronounced in the sad and in the lam.
Salat.
Salatihim. We don't say salatihim in Hafs an Asim. In Warsh an Nafi, you do say salatihim. But in Hafs and the other riwayas and qira'as, you have to say salatihim, the lam with tarqiq. Khashi'un. We have a kha with tafkhim.
At the highest level.
At the highest level. The sad was at the second highest level, but the kha is at the highest level due to the aliful mad. Okay, the third verse, we have the ani lagwi. The ghain is sakin. It's a letter of istifal and also rakhawa. Rakhawa.
It should be pronounced. It's a weak letter, you mean, actually.
It's a weak fricative. And you have to hold the letter a little bit. You shouldn't say ani lagwi, ani lagwi. You shouldn't pass quickly. Okay? You have to say ani lagwi.
It is actually the longest timing.
Yes. Because it's a letter of rakhawa.
Among letters of shidda, letters of tawassut.
Yes, it has the longest timing. Compared to the ayn in mu'aridun. Mu'aridun. We don't say mu'aridun like a shidda, or mu'aridun like a letter of rakhawa. It has tawassut, which is in between rakhawa,
and shidda. By shidda, we mean actually plosives.
Yes, that's right. Of course, this issue is a very advanced level of tajweed. And for beginners, they should not focus too much on, you know, the timing of the letters and tawassult, rakhawa. They should first learn the basics of tajweed, such as غنّة, such as تفخين, such as مد. مد is really important. And also مخارج of the letters, the places of articulation of the letters. These are more important.
And practice makes perfect, I think.
Yes.
Through practicing, they can gain these actually skills to observe the timing of the letters.
That's right. In the last verse, which was recited, verse 11, Firdaus, we had a ra with sukun preceded by a letter with a kasra. So the ra has to be pronounced with tarqiq. Whenever ra is sakin, most of the time we have to look at the previous vowel, the previous letter, and what we have to see what vowel that letter has.
Okay, thank you, Brother Muhammad, and thank you, dear audience of IRIB English Radio. You're still listening to the program Let's Recite the Quran. Stay tuned.
Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, now we will listen to the speech of Sheikh Osama Abdul Ghani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's giving us directions. The Prophet is telling us about a time of fitna. What are we supposed to do in the time of fitna when we don't know? We're looking for direction. We need guidance. There's darkness around us. Let's look at the hadith. إِذَا إِلْتَبَسَتْ عَلَيْكُمُ الْفِتَنْ كَقِطَعِ اللَّيْلِ الْمُظْلِمِ. When there's so much fitna, it's like a dark night, what are your instructions? He says, فَعَلَيْكُمْ بِالْقُرْآنِ. Actually, it's your duty to read Quran. Get your guidance and your direction from the Quran.
That was the final part of the program, Let's Recite the Quran. If you have any comments, questions, or suggestions, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. And don't forget to visit our website, that is parstoday.com. Until next program, we'll leave you in Allah's care.
سبحان يا خالق الإنسان نورنا بالقرآن بمصحف الإيمان ندعوك نرجوك يا مالك التكوين ندعوك نرجوك يا مالك التكوين املأ قلبي قرآن اشرح صدري قرآن املأ قلبي قرآن اشرح صدري قرآن.
IRIB English Radio presents Viewpoints,
the presence of different scholars.
And God said, let there be light, and there was light.
The Creator made Adam in his image, then placed the world in his care. May you walk alongside the Creator in righteousness.
God of Abraham, take my child into thy hands, that he may live to thy service.
God has spoken to us before, through Abraham, Noah, Moses, and through Jesus Christ. Why should we be so surprised that God speaks to us now through Muhammad?
Viewpoint,
a critique of movies with religious themes on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of God, welcome to another edition of the program Viewpoint, the movie critique program on IRIB English Radio. With me, Muhammad Javad, hosting this program, and my dear brothers as guest speakers, my guests here in the studio, Brother Hussein and Sayyid Abdullah. Brother Hussein, salam alaikum, welcome to the program.
Wa alaikum salam, glad to be here.
And Sayyid Abdullah, salam alaikum, welcome to the program.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah, thank you for having me.
You're welcome. We are criticizing the movie An Interview with God, a 2018 drama film directed by Per Lang. Before we continue talking about the movie and criticizing this movie, let's take a listen to a part of the movie and I'll be back with questions.
Is there a heaven?
Oh, yes, but try not to think of it as just a place.
So Satan is also real?
Yes, but frankly, Satan is overrated.
Overrated? That's a funny way to put it. How so?
He only has power to the extent that you give it to him.
What happens to us after we die?
You are reunited with the everlasting.
So my soul is immortal?
Wouldn't be much of a soul if it wasn't.
You were listening to the part of the movie An Interview with God. In this program, Viewpoint, the movie critique program on IRIB English Radio. Brother Hussein, let me start with you in this episode. In this part, Paul asks God, is Satan real? Well, basically the answer is like, Satan is overrated. This is what the person claiming to be God answers. So Satan is overrated and has power to the extent that man gives it to him. He leaves it wide open, in fact, to the man's imagination and capacity.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. That's a very good question. I found that a very good comment, you know. It's one of my favorite parts of the movie, actually. It's true. He is very overrated. Like, they always paint him as this, like, you know, big evil guy who, you know, all he does is just give you ideas. Bad ideas. Mm-hmm. But he gives you ideas. He whispers in your ear, right? And it's really your choice to take his advice or you know, take control of your own life. So, you know, it's like that thing we have in the sayings. It's like Shaitan has a rope for everyone who he's trying to pull. And then some people don't even need a rope. Some people come to the Shaitan without, you know, they come to the devil without...
They follow him without the rope.
Yeah, so the quote from the movie really exemplifies this.
Yes. Sayyid Abdullah, do you find this answer given by God, in fact, in unison with, in harmony with Islamic teachings?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Not precisely. See, what he said to him, he's overrated and he has as much power as you give him, indicating that Satan, to some extent, he has a bit of power, but you can increase that power as you go on depending on your temptation.
Yes.
The fact is, Islam says Shaitan has no power. Islam, when Islam, for the Quran, when he looks at Shaitan, he says, wa kana shaitanu da'ifa, along these lines. Like, the Shaitan was weak. He himself, as creation, is weak. The Shaitan, he himself, he talks in the Quran, he says, da'autukum fa'ajabtumuni. All I did is I invited, and you came. So, in reality, what the Quran trying to project when he talks about the Shaitan, or when makra Shaitan, okay, the Shaitan, kana da'ifa, he only can send you an invitation. That's all he can do.
Yes.
So he has, it means what? He has no power. Unlike the Christian theology that makes the Shaitan like he can control you or he can force you to do things, so he tempts you, even temptation itself.
And we have so many movies about exorcism, by the way.
Exactly. That's a field of his own. But they do project. So when he says he has as much power as you give him, indicating that he can take over you, he can control you, but the reality is the Quran looks at it, or the Sunnah looks at it, as he has absolutely no power whatsoever. And the guy, he himself in the Quran says, "Da'awtukum fa'ajabtumuni." And then he says, the Shaitan is very cunning, even in the Quran, it gives us what he will say on the Day of Judgment. He says, "Fala talumuni," do not blame me. Blame yourselves, right?
Yes.
So, which indicates what? He has absolutely no power. He's as weak as
but
it could.
But so much for his weakness, don't you agree?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you say that according to the Holy Quran, it says that, well, he's so weak, right? He's created this way. But even against this fact that he's so weak, he can tempt so many people. And most of the people, in fact, follow Shaitan.
No, see, I think this is a fallacy.
Except the righteous.
No, I think this is a fallacy. Shaitan, like I said, the Quran says, he himself says, I have nothing. You guys. See, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he created the soul, he says, in the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts it, he said, Fujur alhamaha, fujuraha wa taqwaha.
Yes.
The yin and the yang. Allah created in the man, right?
Exactly.
Fujur wa taqwa. And what controls this fujur and taqwa, this righteousness and evilness, is your soul, is your nafs, right? Your nafs is in control. Now, what does your nafs moves towards? If you're a person, for example, who wants to pleasure himself with the stuff, so you would move to fujuraha, right? You would move to this side. The shaitan, he says, you know what? Since he goes that way, let's come and just, you know, beautify the road for him. And then and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran says, فَزَيَّنَ لَهُمْ أَعْمَالَهُمْ. He beautified their actions to them.
Mm-hmm.
So he comes and he just helps along the way.
Yes.
He doesn't actually forces you. You make the choices.
Exactly.
You choose. Because like I said,
as Brother Hussein said, he whispers in our ears.
Yeah, so he whispers, he invites us, all he does.
He tempts.
But even like, he can tempt anyone. But then you have the free power, the free will to reject. Doesn't matter. This is his job. He will attempt even the prophets, as we have in many narrations. He goes to the prophets and try to attempt them.
Okay.
But that's his job.
Yes.
But would it work or not? No, that's up to you. You choose. So even whether you're a prophet or whether you're a common person or just a normal person, the choice to commit an action is absolutely yours. It got nothing to do with the shaitan.
Yes.
Because on the day of judgment, I could simply say to Allah, shaitan made me do it.
Yes, okay.
That will not work.
Okay, so stay with us. We're going to be back after a short break.
Is God love? It doesn't boast, but yes, absolutely.
What's 2,427 times 648?
1,572,696. For real? I'm sorry.
Nah, it's all right. God forgives.
Back to the program Viewpoint, the movie critique program on IRIB English Radio. Brother Hussein, we are talking about or criticizing the movie An Interview with God. In this part, Paul asks God, is God love? And God's answer is yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, and after that, a couple of minutes, like, or moments after that, the journalist, Paul, tries to check some facts by asking God about numbers, like when he asks him about the multiplication.
Yeah, I remember.
You know?
That.
And then he later finds out that the multiplication was true.
The answer was correct.
The answer was correct, yes. And then God says, God forgives.
God forgives. There
are these general concepts that we have across all religions and denominations, that God is love and God is forgiving.
Yeah, I guess that is true.
Is God love, really?
I'm not sure about that. I really never really understood that phrase. But in terms of that whole multiplication thing and then God forgives, I mean, the love thing comes in later. So
yes.
It reminds me of that story of Prophet Ibrahim when he was kind of like doubting Allah.
Mm-hmm.
And then he asks Allah, can you just show me like one thing, like what one you know, piece of proof that allows me to, you know, لِيَطْمَئِنَّ قَلْبِي, he says, so that my heart can be at rest.
Yes.
So he goes and he cuts all those birds up, as I recall. So anyways, at the end of the day, as I recall, the ayah said something like غَفُورٌ رَحِيمًا, Allah غَفُورٌ رَحِيمًا, or... so it kind of relates back to this. So he was kind of doubting this God, you know, quote-unquote, and he wanted to test his math skills with, you know, a kind of a complicated formula.
Mm-hmm.
So when he did, and then he checked that the product was right, okay, then he said God forgives, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, he's saying, you know what, it's okay to doubt. But at the end of the day, because I love you, I forgive you.
Mm-hmm. I see. Sayyid Abdullah, why... This theme repetitive in many, I'm not talking about cultures, but religions, divine attributes, like God is loving, God is forgiving, God is like this and that, you know, so many divine attributes.
Yeah.
And that gets repeated throughout all religions.
Yeah.
All right? Why is it so?
It's simple. If I give you a phone right now, just a, as we call a brick, right? You would look at it and you would say, okay, it's just a phone. But if I say to you, it's a Samsung, automatically something just pops into your mind, right? Yes. I tell you, it's got like a, you know, 50 megapixel camera.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're expanding your information. What expands? I tell you, it's got like a, you know, top of the range processor. I don't know, it's got like 32 memory. It's got like, I don't know, 2 gigabytes of RAM. The more information I give you, what happens to you is that you have a clearer picture of the device in front of you, and you get attached to it.
Mm-hmm.
Through what? The description that I gave you. With Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is exactly the same. In order for me to know Allah, for me and you to know Allah, is we need to know him through what? His attributes.
Yes.
So you tell me Allah, is his name is Allah. I'm like, okay, Allah has a just generic name.
Mm-hmm.
It holds no sifat. You tell me Allah is Ar-Rahman. And like, oh, Ar-Rahman is the one who encompasses his mercy to everybody. Right. Ar-Rahim to those who is special. Ar-Ra'uf at this, at this. Once you finish the 100 names, or if you can go to Joshan Kabir, you have 1,000 names.
Mm-hmm.
And you get to have a clearer picture of who are you talking to,
yes,
who you are communicating to. So this sifat, that whether it's in Islam or Christianity or any other religion, is just to give you a clearer picture to shape for you who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala really is.
But the kind of picture painted by different religions sometimes gets different. Like, I was talking to an expert in theology, that was his field of study, and he was telling me a very good, like, valid point.
Yeah.
And he was like painting the picture of Judaism as like of God, of course. He said that God is a little bit harsh in there.
He is extremely harsh.
But when it comes to Jesus Christ, he's Christianity, he becomes very loving.
Yeah.
All right. And then when it comes to Islam, it's a bit of both.
Exactly. So Islam levels the field.
Yes.
Because if you read the Old Testament,
it's like
Testament,
both Jamal and what do you call it, Jalali aspect of God.
Ahsan.
Both of them.
Excellent. This is exactly what happens to in Islam. Islam always is like, even Allah says, "Ja'alnakum ummatan wasata." We made you a nation that is in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
So Judaism is very barbaric in its nature. If you read the Old Testament,
exactly. I've read
the New Testament is extremely soft. Right. Whatever you do, God is love. God will forgive you. You know what?
Believe in me. Trust me. Hope.
No, not just that. Like, you go to a confession box and you say, "God, forgive me for
Jesus died for their sins."
That's it.
Right?
And you know, you get it. Like, you say whatever. Like, I killed somebody in the red box, and you come out and you're sin free.
Yes.
That's you know. So that's goes extreme length to compare to Christianity, to Judaism. Where in Islam, Allah says, "No, I am Rahman. I am Rahim."
Yes.
At the same time, Shadidul Iqab.
Yeah.
You know, my punishment. I do punish.
Yes,
so
exactly.
When you take this sifat and you apply them to yourself, you stay in balance.
Yes.
Yourself.
You stay in a state of like khawf and rija too.
Hope and fear. So like, I don't want to do this because God will punish me, and I would want to do this because God will reward me. So it keeps you in balance.
Exactly. And it's reflected throughout the Holy Quran too, like la'allakum, meaning that there is no guarantee that you're going to be forgiven.
Exactly. So,
so you have to be all on the edge of the seat.
Always on your toes.
Yeah, on
always
the toes,
up to you.
Okay. Thank you very much for your nice contribution and answers, both you, Sayyid Abdullah, and Brother Hussein. This is the end of the program, Viewpoint on IRIB English Radio, with me, Muhammad Jawad, the host of this program. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
You're saying yes. This interview, it's eating me up.
It's really an interview?
Yeah.
With God.
You're telling me to pray. Can't hurt.
I'd like to talk to you about salvation, Paul.
So you're here to save me.
Do you even need saving?
Doesn't everyone? We try to be good people, try to please you, and we need some answers. And where did you go?